And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound like crap, though.
Okay. It's probably because I had the iPad sitting on the bed. Hold on.
Damn it, Zach.
Sorry, Joe.
Get your shit together.
Yeah. Okay. Is that better?
Do you have a headset or anything, or are you just going to roll speakerphone on us?
Speakerphone?
You schmuck. We're 10 minutes late, Zach, just so you know.
Yeah, I know. Hey, didn't you say Pepe was going to be there too?
He is here, but he's doing some homework, and Chris isn't available, so I have to use my setup that only has two input jacks, one for Skype and one for me. I mean, if Pappy wants to say something, he could always creep on over here and whisper into the microphone.
That's fair.
I fucking hate my computer.
That better? Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, I can hear you. You sound much better.
Red letter, yellow letter. Rubber baby, buggy bumper.
All right, what's up, everyone? This is Joe doing another little special interview, and I can blame this one entirely on Zach Lyons, our alleged number one fan, who I drug into being on the show today. So say hi, Zach.
Hi, Zach.
See, he's here.
There he is.
So funny. So, Zach, tell me a bit about this person that you met, where you met them, and the whole, like, convincing them to come on this horrible show.
Honestly, I can't recall if I've actually met him or not. I may have, but
you're the worst at this. Jeez.
Well, I went to PAX Australia last year, and I played lots of games there. One of them was Assault Android Cactus, and that's the game that this guy made, or helped make, or was in charge of making.
Help make.
Yeah, were you at PAX Australia last year?
Yeah, I was there, but I don't recall if we met specifically.
I don't recall either, so it's okay.
All right, it's not awkward for anyone.
And I was given a code from one of the guys to cover the early access when I was on Save Continue.
I remember that website.
Yeah, me too.
But anyway, we, as you listeners can tell, we do have Sanatan here. Would you like to introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and what you do.
Hey, I'm Sanatan Mishra, as Zach was saying. I'm a designer on an Australian-based indie team called Witchbeam. It's a three-person team, myself, Tim Dawson, and Jeff Van Dyke, and we're making Assault Android Cactus, which just released for PC.
Nice. So for those who don't know what the game is, never heard of it, give us the sales pitch. Explain the game to us. Tell us why we should pay attention to it.
Wait, I have something for this.
Was it written down?
One second.
Do you have a script?
It is written down somewhere. Yay. But it's... I was just going to... I'll use Zach's description at the end of his review.
Nice.
That's the perfect, right?
Love it.
There you go. So what does he say? The end of it. Oh, man,
he
I'm
says,
bad
blah,
at this.
Blah, blah, my name is Zach, and I like frogs.
I don't actually care much for frogs.
I tried.
Go on.
I was trying to find it, but I can't find a link because I'm bad at the internet right now for some reason. But well, Android Cactus, it's an arcade-style game. It's an arcade-style twin-stick shooter that kind of melds the Western and Eastern styles of shoot-em-ups together. So what we tried to do was bring in the kind of Japanese push towards highly aggressive play. If you play the side-scrolling or screen-pushing shoot-em-ups that they make, they're always compelling you to go forward and interact in the action. And if you play the Western-style arcade games that evolved from like Eugene Jarvis back in the day with Robotron and Smash TV and all the greats, that kind of push towards a more player-driven experience where you're about freedom of movement, aiming simultaneously, you're in control of the camera, you're in control of your position, that kind of thing. So we've taken those two and tried to squish them together into something that we think is interesting with the Salt Indra Cactus. So it's got a lot of bullet hell inspirations, and we kind of dropped the idea of lives, which are a bit of a holdover from arcade systems anyway, and replaced them with a battery that is kind of constantly draining, that forces you to go out and destroy enemies and seek out the next kind of checkpoint, as it were.
Nice. I've got my hands on it. I've played a little bit of the game, and I have to say that it is a stupid amount of fun. I think Zach in his review was saying something about you always just want to try giving it one more run to get a better score.
Yeah. I actually brought my review because of what you had said before, and what I said was the game is actually more of a twin-stick shooter, with the crazier bullet hell portions saved mostly for the boss stages and the more difficult levels later in the game. Still, it's got a mighty fast pace to it that I generally just can't follow in other titles. I lose track of my character, get caught in a storm of bullets, or just make an awkward and unfortunate misstep that abruptly ends my life. The funny thing is that all of these things happened to me while playing Salt Android Cactus, but it still remained insanely fun to play.
There you go.
Sounds like some praise from Zach. Some high praise from Mr. Zach Lyons.
Yeah, I gave it a 4 out of 5, and I wanted to give it a 4.5, but we didn't do half points on our site. And just yesterday, they said, hey, we do half points now.
Well, time to go and retroactively upgrade that score.
I just might.
Wow. Okay.
So look at that, a 9 out of 10, a 90%.
Yeah, I've seen
Metacritic wouldn't care.
I've seen other 9s out of 10s. JP gave it a 10 out of 10.
Oh, I miss JP. Yeah. How's he doing?
He's doing well as far as I know.
Let's completely ignore the game that you're on to talk about, and we'll just talk about our old days on Save Continue instead.
Hey, I like JP. He's a cool dude. I mean, not just because he liked my game, but we've been chatting. He played it on the earliest stages, and he's just a really genuine person, which is nice.
He is. I agree. He's over at PlayStation Universe doing lots of stuff nowadays.
Cool.
So Zach moved up to what, Twinfinite you're at?
Yep.
JP's at PlayStation Universe, and I'm on YouTube. We're all going up in the world.
Yes.
Okay, I have no platform, so that's me next.
But
right?
You're on Steam, so you eclipse all of us.
You beat us all.
I think you guys could be on Steam in like half an hour these days.
Possibly.
I'm not saying that's negative at all, actually.
I have a really cool endless runner I could just fart out right now and get it greenlit.
Because that's what Steam is all about, is it's an open platform, and I like that.
When Steam has such titles as I Am Bread and Shower With Your Dad Simulator.
No lie, I really want to get the Shower With Your Dad Simulator guys on the show to talk about that game.
Oh, on the show, right.
Like, I would love to see what the hell was going through their mind when they made that.
I mean, I think it's kind of self-explanatory, both of those games, right?
They're showering with their dad while they made the game.
They're just intended, I think, to be part of that current really strong internet subculture on virality and memes and things like that, which is great.
And then, funny enough, I Am Bread is now on the PS4. So,
nice.
Both of those games are immensely popular on Steam, by the way. Like many, many orders of magnitude more than Cactus.
It's just people like weird, strange games nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all right. I think it's pretty smart of them to have found an angle like that that's so interesting and appealing, the wacky and zany. Same with, you know, games like Goat Simulator.
Yeah. So you said that the team behind Android Assault Cactus was a three-person team?
It is. It's three-person. So I do design on the team. So you can blame me for everything you hate. Although cool. Tim also does design.
Your fault.
Yeah. Then Tim handles the art and programming as well as the original concept. And Jeff is our musician/sound effects artist.
Nice. Is this the first game that you guys have worked on together as a team?
We worked together at Sega before this, which is how we knew each other. But this is the first game as an independent team. Yeah, just us.
Yeah. What kind of games did you work on with them?
Really bad ones. the first game I ever worked on in professional industry capacity was called Storm Rise. I think it's rated like average of 3 out of 10 or something. It's a terrible strategy game. Funnily enough, made by the exact same team that made Medieval 2 Kingdoms and co-produced Medieval 2. So, you know, amazing group of highly talented individuals make a terrible game. It's kind of an interesting story in itself. It's interesting to be a part of something like that.
Stormrise Xbox 360 version sitting at a 48 on Metacritic.
There you go.
There's one positive review, so that's always a good thing.
Yeah, that person's crazy.
And then 15 mixed, and then 20 negative. So is that game your fault as well?
No, that game's not my fault. Okay. It was the first thing I worked on in a professional capacity, and I wasn't in charge of anything really on that. I was working more on the production side and learning how to make games, basically.
Nice.
But I did work with Jeff on that, and he handled the music. But it was like I said, it's an interesting story in that the people who made that were literally the team that the previous game to that they made entirely themselves was Total War Medieval 2 Kingdoms, which is one of like the highest rated PC games. So kind of like the shift in people who are obviously highly talented make a bad thing, which is kind of common in the games industry.
Yeah, it's kind of sad to see how some developers could create some absolute gold and then their next release is just hot garbage.
That's amazing, isn't it?
So I was, exactly the same programmers, a lot of the same designers, all the same artists working across from that game that was just truly brilliant to a game that was just worthless. And that was a really interesting experience for a lot of the people there who came off of it going, wow, we killed ourselves to make this game. Like some point, the crunch on that game was just insane. I think I remember one time to hit beta, people were staying there for like 48 hours straight.
Wow.
On this game, that was just terrible. So that was a really interesting experience for me. We also worked together on the London 2012 Olympics video game, which was not terrible. It was okay.
One or the Mario one?
The official one. I mean, it wasn't good, but it was not terrible. It was one of the better official Olympics video games. That's what I'm trying to say.
You're saying it wasn't good, but it wasn't Stormrise.
Yeah, and then I worked on the Castle of Illusion HD remake, which again was kind of all right, but not good or terrible. The difference, though, between I think working in that kind of a team and then working on your own thing is just so drastic. A small cog in a big machine limited by the people there, the people above you and around you, and then doubly limited by strange commandments that come down from people across the globe who you're not even sure have ever seen your game. So it was a really worthwhile experience for me.
Definitely.
And you have that life experience behind you as well to kind of figure out what you're doing and make your own games that you care about that much better.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Cactus is a reflection of like our innate desire to make something that's worth people's time.
That's good to hear. So how long did it take you to create this game?
I've been working on it nearly 3 years now since I quit my job at the start of 2013.
That's a pretty long haul to the game.
Yeah, it's been an intense ride trying to figure that out, financially, because we're not backed by anyone. We just went into this with our life savings, which for me was about 20 grand.
That is 19 grand, 873 more than I have as my life savings. So you're doing pretty good there.
Well, I mean, I spent that 20 grand. But at the time, that was what I had when I decided to do this. That's why I felt confident in trying to do it. I had some money. I was like, all right, this can last me a little while.
Apologies for the noise you guys just heard. My cat decided to jump up on my desk because my cat Potato is an idiot.
That's probably why your cat's named Potato, right?
Yeah, it's the most fitting name we've ever given one of our cats.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, 3 years all in. No, it's tough, but I think it's been worthwhile. I think the game that we made, I'm really happy with the game that we made. So that's that.
I think that's one of the most important things is if you're satisfied with the end product.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And when officially did the game release?
September 23rd. Just over a week ago.
How's the reception been so far in the first week? Well, by the time hear this, 2 weeks. So tell us, for a week from now, how's the reception been?
Well, Twinfinite gave it an 8, you know, which was pretty disappointing because I thought this Zach guy was really going to like it. But
that
then I just
son of a bitch.
To it high. So, I mean, that's pretty good, right? Like, it went up a whole point of goodness in, like, a week.
That's pretty good. Yeah. 1 week's difference is an entire point. So next week, by the time this airs, it'll be a 10. And then by the end of the year, it's going to easily be like a 46 or something.
Yeah. I mean, just think about that. Statistics say that this is just going up and up and up and up and up.
46 out of 10. That sounds like a winner.
Absolutely.
So,
I mean, you talk about all those people wanting it to go up to 11. Huh. This goes up to 46.
So, Zach, what was the thought process behind assigning the game a 46 out of 10?
You know, it just felt it deserved it. That's all there is to it.
That's all you have to say for yourself?
Worst explanation ever.
Oh, yeah, man.
46 out of 10, it's okay. That's the best way, right? You're like, yeah, I felt like... That just seemed like an appropriate number.
After I got done writing the review, you know, I had to think, what does this game deserve, really? And mind you, our scoring system is out of 5. So 46 out of 10 is pretty amazing considering we work on 5 scale.
The only issue I have is when you compare your 46 out of 10 to JP's 10 out of 10, that's only a 280 Metascore. Like that. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit better than Ocarina of Time and Grand Theft Auto 5, but come on. JP's got to step his game up.
I know, right?
That bastard.
Rat bastard.
How has the fan reaction been, or the player's reaction been, in the first week so far?
I think it's been pretty good. I think... It's on Steam. It's got really good user reviews, which is nice. It's like 97% or 98% people thinking that good. I'm pretty happy about. You know, the forums are pretty active. We're talking with people. The biggest, like, obviously, the negative voices are the ones that you hear the loudest as a creator.
That's how it always is.
Everyone, yeah, it's always going to be that way. So. I hear, I personally, in my head, I imagine there's a lot of people getting angry with the game, going, "Arg, why is it so difficult or frustrating, or what's this thing? Why does this mechanic not work properly?" But then statistically, I look at things and I go, wait, like, a lot of people are really, 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 really happy with what this is. Maybe I'm just focusing on the wrong elements.
I just enjoy the thought of fans going, "Arg."
It does happen. You never know. You never know. It's a strange thing. I think the biggest surprise to me has been the sheer number of people who have reviewed or bought the game that are just not into arcade games and come and, like, slam weird elements that I'm quite prideful of.
No, I'm not a fan of bullet hell games, but I don't understand why this is a bullet hell game when they advertised it as a bullet hell game.
Well, I mean, there's not even that much bullet hell in the game, so...
I was going to say, it's much more twin-stick shooter. That's why I said what I said in my review. It's got bullet hell sprinkled in, and the boss fights are definitely bullet hell-y.
Oh, like, yeah,
it's
definitely
so
the boss fights.
To avoid the bullets in those fights.
But there's, like, this common theme I've noticed of reviews and other things. Like, our most negative, by most negative, I mean, I think it's some people gave us 7 out of 10 or something. And they go on about, like, how the game is short at 3 hours to go through the campaign levels. And I sit there and I in my head, I go over, like, every arcade game that I've ever played, in the best, even the huge recent ones like Resogun and Super Stardust HD, and I go, those games are about 45 minutes long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arcade games aren't supposed to be 10-hour epics.
I've got Steam open right now. I've got 7 hours logged on Assault Android Cactus, and I've got 15 out of 29 achievements. That's 52% of achievements. I've still got a lot of things I can do. I still got things I haven't unlocked. There's so much to do. That's not just the main game.
Yeah, I've had fun replaying the early levels just to try and get better rankings. I'm not good at it, but I try.
Every time I unlocked a new character, I went back to the first stage, the first five levels, to replay them to get a feel for the new character. So those first five levels I know really well now.
And that's part of the design and why I'm really happy with the game is it's an arcade game. It's meant to be infinitely replayable. But for me, it's less that I'm not angry at people subjectively saying they feel like it can be short, right, or slight. I'm more surprised that the game has this appeal to people who I think would never play this kind of genre. You know, like that's obviously where they're coming from. They're going, this is only 3 hours of campaign content, and then I'm going, wait, that's like four times the size of Resogun.
Yeah. Well, what's the price of the game? Was it 15?
It's $15.
And people are expecting like a triple the length of that for $15. These people are stupid.
but it's not really that stupid because I think the game appeals to people who would, like arcade games don't normally appeal to because it's very inviting. You know, we've got like a lot of focus on story elements and things like that that normally this genre doesn't have anything in that space.
Yeah, so you're already giving a lot more than other games of the same genre would give in the entire game.
But then you also get judged on those elements. You also attract people who are interested in those but not interested in the other side of the game. So that's to me what's been kind of like really interesting to as a creator. I look on it as a learning experience. Whenever somebody like has a disconnect of what they thought the game was and then what it actually is, I look on it less as like they're stupid and I should just be angry at them and more like why is the game kind of selling itself as this other experience that it's not.
Right.
So that to me has been one of the most interesting things to come out of the launch, and I'm kind of happy about it, honestly. Even if they're not the biggest fan of it because they don't normally play this kind of game, I sit there and I go, like, I convinced someone who would normally probably never play an arcade game, and they played through the whole campaign of Cactus and kind of figured it out and got into it a bit, and that's really cool.
That's always good to hear. Bring in new people to different genres.
Yeah.
I mean, that's me exactly. That's another thing I mentioned in my reviews, that I don't like those types of games usually. I think the last twin stick shooter I got into was, what's it called? Geometry Wars on Xbox 360, the second one.
Great game.
You should try some of the other twin stick shooters that have come out, because there have been some good ones lately.
Yeah, well, I heard lots of good things about Resogun, but that's on PS4, and I don't have a PS4, and I probably won't have a PS4 for a long time.
Speaking of this game is planned to hit the PS4, isn't it?
It's coming to PS4, PS Vita, and Wii U next year, as soon as we can. I mean, we're just eternally working on this thing, so I don't make any promises about the exact day, but as soon as possible.
There's a pretty big platform missing in that list.
Well,
we
initially locked in the platforms we were going to work on 3 years ago, and 3 years ago you weren't allowed to self-publish on that other missing platform, and then they introduced the ability to self-publish, but there are all these weird restrictions, and you know those restrictions seem to be slowly going away, but we still had already committed to a bunch of platforms, so maybe somewhere down the line we'll consider that mysterious fourth platform.
I think that fourth platform should definitely hit the table of thought because it's good, and I'll actually be able to buy it on that system.
Joe.
Huh.
You're forgetting you have a Wii U that's completely probably underused in your place.
Oh, the Nintendo stuff is always underused because, I don't know, I play exclusives on the Wii U, and I play exclusives on PS4. Everything else I play on the Xbox One.
And I understand that, but if there is, like, it's not often. Usually you get multi-platform games on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation, or Xbox and PlayStation.
Oh, yeah, I'm psyched it's hitting the Wii U.
Over to the Wii U. So I think if you've got an option between PC, PS4, and Wii U, I think Wii U is definitely a nice way to go to support indies on the platform.
True, very true.
Yeah, we use.
I mean, and Nintendo's been pushing the indies a fair amount recently. Like in this last year, they've been really getting behind them, I feel, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm down with Nintendo, but I mean, I've got nothing against the mysterious other platform.
Mysterious.
Are we just not saying it's specifying?
I suppose.
You're just ignoring the glory of the Xbox One.
It's literally the three of us. And when we went to look at platforms we could do Cactus on, Nintendo was like, sure, have a dev kit, and here's how you publish. And Sony was like, sure, have a dev kit for both our platforms, and here's how you publish. And Microsoft was like, well, you can't really. And then later on, they were like, well, you can, but there's these restrictions. And then much later on, it was like, well, you probably can. And at that point, we'd already like committed to a bunch of, like, we still have three platforms to come out on. So at some point, we will finish all the platforms we've already said we're going to do, and then we'll look at it.
Well, I hope that you do eventually bring it to Xbox, because I will absolutely drop the money to pick it up on Xbox.
Oh, well, Xbox. I thought we were talking about Ouya.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that too. My Ouya, that's just sitting all dusty and unused.
Yes, we're talking about Xbox. I'm sorry. That was a terrible joke.
That and the Atari Jaguar.
I love the Jaguar because it was like filled all the secondhand shops around where I live.
Every time we talk about different platforms for games on this show, we always have to find ways to mention the Atari Jaguar and the Tiger R Zone.
Yep.
Zach can attest to that.
Are you familiar with the Tiger R Zone?
I am not.
Oh, you need to fire up the Googles and look. It's a kind of a portable system that you would like wear on your head, and it had like a little clear visor for the one eye that you would play games on. It was like crappy little LCD games.
Did you just look it up?
I mean, I don't even know what to say, guys.
I still think that a good April Fool's news joke would be making that Tiger has announced the Tiger R phone.
The R phone?
Yeah, Tiger R phone.
Oh my god.
Updated.
I was going to say R Zone HD.
Not the R phone.
With instead of like a little 1-inch plastic LED screen, it's like 2 inches.
Yeah, and it plays all of those old Tiger handheld games that were licensed from every friggin' property ever.
And every time you would like reset the system, you would see all the different icons show up on the screen at once.
Yeah, yeah. Like there's a picture here I'm seeing. There's a picture of Tiger Games. That's the live-action Flintstones movie. Sonic 3D Blast, Altered Beast, Gauntlet, Full House. Television show.
I had the Ninja Jurassic Turtles one Park. As a kid. I had Ninja Turtles and Contra, I think. Or no, Double Dragon. Star Double Wars. Dragon it was.
Knights. Like any property you could think of.
And next year, we're all going to have the Assault Android Cactus Tiger handheld.
Tiger game?
Yes. Yeah. I can confirm right now on this podcast that we are abandoning all of our other platform development. And switching to full-time Tiger development.
Going to recall the Steam version because it only has a 260 260 Metascore. Can I have to recall that?
Oh yes, yeah, only 260. I'm sorry.
Damn you, JP, and you're low 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I know. It's just ridiculous. We actually got 11 out of 10 from someone, so JP is not the highest.
Ah. Well, you have the 43 coming later this year, so.
I know. It's great.
Or 40, what was it, 46, 40, I don't know, whatever. It's a bad joke to begin with.
One thing that's kind of funny on Steam, actually, is that we have a demo for our game. So if anybody wants to play it, you're welcome to try it for free, because demos are cool, even though they're really not popular these days. But there's still people who, like, leave a review, particularly some of our negative reviews, which are, there are not many of, there's like 8 of them. But I think 2 or 3 of them are from people with like 10 minutes played.
Oh god.
And it's like, I look at it and I go, so you bought this game to play it for 10 minutes to say that you don't like it, and there's a demo there. I miss demos, man. People should learn to like make demos and play demos when they exist.
Yeah, demos are a dying art, and that's sad to see. There are so many games that I probably never would have bought last generation if it didn't have any demo with it, and then I'll play, you know, their 15, 20 minute demo, and I'll just dive into it and love it.
Yeah, and our demo is pretty generous. It's got 4 levels and 5 characters, so you can play it for a great many hours, I would think, if you wanted to. Which I'm totally fine with, because the game has something like, you know, 8 times that amount of content in it, which is cool. I just don't understand the mindset of someone who spends five minutes, like pays money for something, spends 5 minutes on it or 10 minutes on it, and goes, right, this is the worst thing ever, and there was a demo right there.
Oh, and that's the worst part with people. It's either the greatest game ever or the worst game ever. Most people today, they don't understand that there's, you know, different shades of gray in the middle.
That's how you move the needle.
As far as I know.
What was that, Zach? I could barely hear you. You're not talking loud anymore.
There's approximately 50 of them, if memory serves.
People?
No, he said there's lots of different shades of gray.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You're the worst, Zach. You are the worst.
Thank you.
That was one of the worst jokes I've ever heard on anything. I'm sorry.
Well, guess what? I'm having a baby in 2 months, so that is perfect. That's great news for me. Thanks. I appreciate the compliment.
You can't have dad jokes until you're a dad.
Hey, there's a baby growing in a uterus that I put there. I'm dad.
Just saying. Wait until the day. Otherwise, count. You still
if I
be...
wait until the day to start making the jokes, then I'm not going to be that good at them. I need to be amazing at making terrible jokes.
True. From the get-go. I'll give you that. You're practicing.
Yeah, duh.
I'm scrolling through some of the reviews here on Steam, and I think my favorite one is there's a thumbs down with 0.2 hours on record. Initial impression... overrated. The thing is a week old. How the hell is it overrated?
Hey, I'm not sure. So what's that? 0.2 hours. Does that work out to be like 12 minutes or something?
Wait, something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly, I think.
So they played it for 12 minutes and it's overrated. And the review was from the 27th. So they it was 4 days after release and the game is overrated.
that's how humans work. Humans are the best.
Although
I'm sure there's probably a positive score in there from someone with 12 minutes played as well. So, you know, you take everything with a grain of salt, positive and negative.
Oh, and you did reply to that review.
I did. I was like, well, because he specified something about the camera. And
yeah,
so
that
I
it should have been a top-down camera.
Yeah. I don't want to try and argue with people, but I was trying to... like explain some of the thoughts behind it, and then invited him to like check out. I replied to most of the negative reviews and quite a lot of the positive reviews as well, talking with people, especially if they have something where they're like not sure about in the game. I'll direct them to a forum thread of other players discussing things. Like, it's quite common someone will say, oh, I really liked it, I had trouble with this section. So there's a thread on the forum with a bunch of people going, what's your best strategies against Vespula or whatever, and so I'll just reply to the review and say, hey, you know, there's other people playing here. You should be part of the community.
Well, I already give you a ton of credit for replying to reviews, because a lot of developers, I know there's some real shitbag developers out there that if they see any negative reviews, they immediately ban the person from their forums or pitch a little bitch fit somewhere online. It's like, oh, you can't talk bad about our game. We worked on it. Like, we worked hard on this game, so it has to be good.
I'm mostly interested, especially if someone spent money on my game, I'm mostly interested in making them have a good time. Like, it doesn't help anyone. Like, I feel bad about having taken these people's $15 and then they are not enjoying the game. So my goal is less to, like, convince them that the game is good and more to help them enjoy the game.
Which I think is a great outlook.
Yeah, it's a great mentality to have.
Thanks.
By the way, I'm playing right now as we talk.
Oh, that's really hard to do, playing and talking simultaneously.
It is. I'm trying the final boss, because after all I played, I never was able to beat the final boss.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, Zach, you can pretty much do... What the hell was the... What was the little sketch we used to do with Bogue 120 episodes ago, where we would force him to play a game?
What was that? That was...
I don't remember my own show anymore.
Bear Grylls. I just remember he played Bear Grylls and he played Tomb Raider.
Yeah, we made him play games live on our show. A friend who... He was one of the first co-hosts of this show. He lasted about 10 episodes before he had to quit. But we used to force him to play either a game before the show or during the show, a really bad game. And we would just get his live impressions.
Yeah, but Tomb Raider wasn't a bad game. Tomb Raider wasn't a bad game. That was the reboot, and that was really good.
Yeah, he played that before
the
show.
Game that he hadn't... Oh, okay. Right, because he read out what he thought.
Yeah, we also had him do Deadfall Adventures on the 360, which is another just glorious game.
I wish I could remember what that was called. Dummy Run.
Dummy Run, that's it. Good job.
Got it. Number one fan, what up?
What the? I need to look this stuff up.
Seriously, out of 127 episodes, I think you've heard all 127, haven't you?
Yes.
Well, he's your number one fan.
Allegedly.
Well, I mean, because he started in the transition between the first site we worked on together and the second site we worked on together. And it was just kind of a thing that he did. And then when our second site together launched, it was there for a long time, and then things happened that we're not going to get into, and
shit went down
and he just went off. Him and his co-hosts went off, and they kept doing it apart from the site, and they also started getting on another one. What's the other site you post on?
We are on Bleeding Cool now.
Bleeding Cool, that's the one.
Yeah, we appear there Monday nights, and I know they have a fairly large audience, and they're because of that, they're getting more involved with gaming stuff, and we're one of the podcasts that they host on their site.
But because like I've known Joe and been working with him since the beginning of SML, that's kind of why I've kept up with it. At first, it was like, oh, if this is going to be posted on the site that we're working on, you know, I want to be familiar with it, because one of the things I hate is when people like that are part of a team don't know what's going on. So I'm like, okay, well, I think it's, if nothing else, responsible to know what this what the content is we're putting out.
Two and a half years later, he's not smart enough to stop listening yet.
I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I think you guys have a good dynamic. And with
are you gonna listen to this one?
Really important.
I'm not going to listen to this episode. I hate the host.
Am I going to listen to this one? No, probably not.
I already heard it.
Maybe I'll open it up on YouTube to give it a hit.
There you go. We'll get this episode into double digits.
Oh, good old YouTube. YouTube's pretty amazing.
Ye old
YouTube.
Actually,
I find it weird that people talk a lot about Steam being flooded with games these days because it's becoming an open platform. But no one ever seems to complain about the sheer number of like cat videos that are on YouTube when they're going.
you can't shit talk cat videos.
Oversaturation in the cat video market.
I'm just saying that like an open platform means that it's open to everyone, including not the best things. And I like that.
I
like
an extremely good point.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think there's too many parody song videos on YouTube, but cat videos, there can never be too many.
I'm so glad there were no parody song. I'm glad there was no YouTube when Weird Al was starting off.
Oh, God.
Because he probably wouldn't have made it.
Probably not. He probably would have been like insulted through all eternity for just what was it, my baloney. Poor Weird Al,
I like Weird Al.
Poor millionaire.
Poor millionaire, highly accomplished, critically acclaimed Weird Al.
Who's now going to be in Rock Band on Tuesday.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's awesome. What songs?
It's just one. It's one of the pre-order songs for the Xbox One version of the game.
Mother,
is it These Days?
My Own Eyes. My Own Eyes.
Oh, yeah, My Own Eyes. I don't know why I'm thinking These Days.
Does anyone else just like have their eyes glaze over and roll into the back of their heads when they hear the words pre-order bonus?
Yes.
Honestly, no, because if it's a game I want, I was going to get it anyway, so I might as well just pre-order it and get some free shit for it.
Or you could just buy it when it comes out, and it should come with everything.
It should, but
pre-order bonuses were really good when, like, you'd go to GameStop or wherever your game store is, and you'd go to pre-order it, and they'd say, hey, here's a ball cap or something.
Yeah, we need more physical bonuses.
Unexpected gifts. You know, not stuff that was, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the pre-order bonuses worked when the concept was the store wanted to reward you for making their ability to choose how many orders of the game, how many numbers of the game they ordered. Right. Yeah. So like that was a logistics thing where they went, this is hugely to our benefit. If we get 100 pre-orders, then we know to order like 120 copies of the game to have some in stock for extras. But these days it's like they want to push pre-orders because they can just game the system, basically. And it bothers me.
Like with the Deus Ex augment your pre-order.
Yep. Yeah.
I'll give them credit for canceling that.
Yeah, but it shouldn't have been a thing in the first place.
Shouldn't have.
My least favorite thing was one I ever saw was the Ubisoft one where someone made like that table. I don't know if you ever saw this one. I think it was a Kotaku article or something. And it was just a table of where you would have to pre-order the game and which content you would get. Oh. And you had to pre-order it at like 7 different places in order to get all of the content.
I believe that was for Arkham City or Arkham Knight.
Either that or possibly an Assassin's Creed.
I think it both. I think it's become a common thing.
Because Ubisoft can get pretty horrible with their pre-order shit.
And these days, with the number of broken games that release, it's just becoming riskier and riskier to buy in and do all of that. I'm much more in the camp of just the game comes out. If the consensus is that, you know, it's not broken and it was something I was interested in, then yeah, I'll buy it on the day. And it should come with everything that's in the game because I'm giving you over in Australia like $120. So
yeah
you guys get screwed with game prices down there.
It's awful. Australia's even better than New Zealand.
And New Zealand is game super screwed.
On the bright side, you guys can walk into a store and actually see amiibos.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's very fine. No shortage here.
Yeah. Where America, I needed to pre-order amiibos when I can, or like the version of Chibi Robo or Yoshi's Woolly World that comes with amiibos, you need to pre-order those if you want them.
Wait, wasn't some of this, though, some of this was pre-order stuff, right? Where like certain amiibos in America were only coming with certain pre-orders and bundles and special editions, whereas over in Australia and New Zealand, they were just selling them as is because of the differences between Nintendo Europe and Nintendo America. I'm pretty sure this all comes back to like pre-order nonsense as well.
I don't know if anything was pre-order only when it comes to amiibos, but a lot of the amiibos over here were like store exclusive crap.
That's what it was.
That's
the bullshit we got to deal with here.
It's not a thing here. We don't have store exclusive amiibos.
Joe, have you heard? The store exclusives are coming to an end for amiibo that have been out.
Oh, good.
It's been. I follow a couple of amiibo outlets on Twitter, and they've been showing reports from Best Buy that have stock incoming of previous other store exclusives like Greninja and Shulk and others that you can only get elsewhere at Lucario.
Yeah, I still need Lucario. That's one of the few I still need.
Yeah, well, you should be able to get them at Best Buy. Like, check Best Buy in the next week.
Nice.
And you very well might get it. I know Lucario's been getting, actually, you probably go to Toys R Us and find one now because it's been getting nationwide restocks already.
Nice.
Lucario as well as, like,
the three pack of Splatoon.
Has that been getting restocks too?
It's been popping up here and there again, which is good because people want like $70 for it online.
Like, wait, was that not an easy to get thing in America?
The three pack for Splatoon? Yeah. No. That
we walked in and got that 2 weeks after the game came out here.
Yeah, no, whenever I go to a JB Hi-Fi or something, I'll see what they've got here. And I just post pictures on Twitter and make American friends hate me.
I don't even look what I could get, bitches.
It's so expensive here, too, like, because they're $13 in the U.S., but they're $25 here in New Zealand. Probably $17 in Australia, right?
Something like that. But, I mean, that's actually $13 to $17 is pretty standard now that the U.S. dollar is so strong.
I was going to say, when you consider the conversion, I know it works out to be not terrible, but just hearing $13, $17, $25, I'm like,
I'm just happy that store numbers are going up. Like, Bowser Jr. was one of the, was a Toys R Us exclusive, and there was a line. There had to be 30, 40 people in line to get the thing, and they still have them.
Which blows my mind, because I'm like, Bowser Jr. is not a popular character. Bowser Jr. is not in a lot of games. I can't see the amiibo being compatible with a lot of games.
Well, I understand. People don't get them for compatibility anymore. They get them to have them.
But
isn't that the real thing, though? It's the most unpopular characters could become the most popular amiibos because everyone panics that they're not going to print many of them. Well, not print, sorry, you know, make many of them. So they go, oh, crap, I've got to go get my Bowser Jr. because no one's going to want Bowser Jr. So there's going to be five of them.
Yeah. Well, store exclusives in general, they seem to be printing a lot more of them because they know you can only get them in one spot.
Hmm.
But
I remember.
So what amiibos are compatible with Assault Android Cactus?
We did have an idea for amiibos. I shouldn't talk about it because it's 99% won't happen, and then anybody who hears it will get pissed off. But Tim had a cool idea at one point. And in the game, we have this mode called Daily Drive, which is like a randomly generated 10-ish minute level of chaotic enemies, right? And every day it's generated based off a seed that's that day's date and shared around. So everyone plays the same randomly generated thing and they get one shot at it. One idea that Tim had that I thought was really cool was that you could use the amiibos, which would surely have a identifier that you could convert into a seed, right? Unique seed per amiibo.
Yeah.
To generate a level.
That would be so neat.
You could put your, you know, Link amiibo down there, and you would play a level generated by whatever crazy code that the Link amiibo has, and then have a unique leaderboard associated with that everyone could compete on the same randomly generated level based on that amiibo.
That would be really cool.
That would be a really cool idea. And that way...
I was just going to say, and with the announcement of the third-party Shovel Knight amiibo, you could get a Cactus and a Holly and a Coral...
Yeah, I was going to bring that up with Shovel Knight being the first third-party one. You know, maybe we could see more third-party amiibos popping up.
I would love to have a Cactus amiibo, but I'm pretty sure you have to be, like, real game to get that kind of thing. You know, like, Shovel Knight, we're talking, you know, millions of units. Cactus, really we're talking, really like, you guys know about it. That's the difference.
Sure.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe one day.
You never know.
I think Shovel
Knight's been out for what, like 2 years, year and a half?
Something like that. You know what Shovel Knight also is? It's on the Xbox One.
I knew you were going to say that. Joe, let it go.
Never.
Let it go, Joe.
Did you know when Shovel Knight came to the Xbox One? Later than it came to the other platforms.
Yeah, but it came out around the same time
likely,
as the PlayStation.
You know, a thing that could happen.
Shovel Knight was PC and Wii at the beginning, and then months later it came to PlayStation, and a week later it was on Xbox.
Yeah. And typically those the kind point of is that delays it was of like a week long are just because the different stores have different release.
Plus, we and all know I'm since the Xbox One is Battletoads, the Xbox One's the best. Because Battletoads.
Yeah, Battletoads is pretty cool. All the custom characters and things like that.
Ah, good times.
If you were to add a platform-specific character to Cactus from each platform, who would it be?
Nintendo would probably have to be Samus. Because of the whole space pirate.
It's a good call.
Shooting things.
Yep.
PlayStation probably a Hellcast. Girl, right?
Because otherwise it would... No, it has to be... It'd have to be a girl.
That would have to... Well, PlayStation doesn't have many girls. Oh. Maybe Noriko from Heavenly Sword?
Interesting. And who from Xbox?
Joanna
She's
Dark.
She's on Android.
I think Joanna Dark would be the easy Xbox Joanna choice. Because she's a girl with guns.
Yeah, that's true. Well, so that's a good point, actually.
I was going to say, so is Lara Croft, but she's just limited exclusive.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call that an exclusive. Then again, Dead or Alive had a female Spartan in it. Could always bring her back.
That's true. Yeah. I forgot about that. Jeez.
Good memories.
I did forget how they like had that Spartan who looked exactly like Master Chief, but it was a girl.
Yeah. Just a larger chest plate on it.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you guys could, on the Wii U version, have an exclusive with, like, Daisy. Because Daisy's not in anything. Daisy is the Waluigi.
Poor Daisy.
She's in all the party games, but she doesn't have her... But she doesn't ever get the spotlight. So you should put Daisy as the exclusive Wii U character.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Pretty neat.
Samus is the easiest bit.
Yeah, so you gotta
yeah,
go.
Yeah, that's
take,
actually that's
go
like
a beaten path.
That would definitely make that cut. What's that?
I said you gotta go off the beaten path.
I think something might be a bit wrong
Daisy.
With my. It's lagging a little
that
bit
might
here.
Might be a bit wrong with your.
Yeah, good old Skype lag. I guess I'll ask one last question. On our show, we usually end each episode with music. How interested would you be in having some Assault Android Cactus music end our show?
Yeah, that'd be great. Which track would work well? I think the track to the first world going to kick your ass. It's pretty good.
All right. Well, we usually do like anywhere from like 3 to 5 songs. Is the soundtrack available to pick up anywhere?
Yeah, it's on Steam and Bandcamp, and I will send you a code for that so you can use it.
Nice. All right. Well, we're coming up, getting close to an hour here. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about the game?
I had a question.
Go for it.
You didn't ask the Pappy question that you always ask.
Oh, yeah, the Pappy question. Pappy.
During the development of...
Hold on, Zach. We're going to get Pappy to ask the question.
Oh, yeah, right. Sweet.
If you were an animal... No. Hi. I can't actually hear your reply, but hi.
Hello.
Go ahead.
So, when you're taking a break from your games, what kind of games do you like to play in terms of unwinding? And please don't say the crazy things like Dark Souls 2, because those kind of people scare me.
Well, the only game that I properly finished during development of Assault Android Cactus was Bloodborne, and I did platinum that game. So
he said Bloodborne! He said Bloodborne! Ha!
Didn't say Dark Souls.
Which is actually the only... It's the only game I have ever platinumed as well, because I normally don't go in for achievements like that. But, man, that game was amazing.
Oh, that is amazing.
Otherwise, I play a whole bunch of different games. I play everything and anything. I will play classic games. I'll play Sonic the Hedgehog. I will go back and play all the remakes that are coming out for 3DS of Afterburner and Gunstar Heroes and all these great games. I'll play modern games. I'll play Destiny, which has the worst storytelling of any big game ever, but some of the best gameplay of any big game ever. Playing Metal Gear Solid 5 at the moment, which is just incredible. I think that game feels like it's $1 billion. That's what the game feels like. Maybe it did cost that much. Who knows?
Probably.
Yeah, just anything and everything. I've been playing a ton of my Wii U over the last 2 years. The Wii U is amazing. Bayonetta 2, Pikmin, Super Mario 3D World. These are all potential game of the generation contenders to me. So yeah, I play a mix. Anything and everything that's interesting, that's good, that I find compelling.
Nice.
So, speaking of Pikmin, how about that news that Pikmin 4 is almost done?
I mean, I'll wait to see whether or not that turns out to be real until I get excited.
That's fair.
I'm guessing, if anything, that'll be an NX game.
Probably be a crossover game or something, like Zelda.
Yeah, like Twilight Princess.
I'm actually really excited for the new Zelda, though. I hope they can pull it off. It's a pretty ambitious change for the series.
I'm really looking forward to the next update on it, because it's been like 6 or 7 months since they said, hey, we're not going to be at E3. We're just going to focus on making the game. And they haven't said like anything since then. And I think that's a good thing, just because they're not pulling Final Fantasy 15 and giving us news every friggin' 2 weeks.
Yep.
I think they're pulling a Twilight Princess instead, and it's going to be next gen.
See, I feel like when they give details on the NX next year, they're going to just surprise everybody and say, oh, it's still 2 years away.
I think it's highly... My view on it is that it's unlikely the NX and the Wii U will share a lot of similar input devices and things, and so I think that there's less opportunity for cross games. It's going to be harder to do than it's.
So you think it's not going to be like the Wii U, where the Wii U still uses all the remotes from the Wii?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I think it's going to be a proper console upgrade.
I have no idea what it will be, but I think that they've well and truly mined out the space that the Wii U was in, and people responded that even with the greatest software lineup they've had since the SNES, people didn't really care.
Yeah.
Which I think is a shame, personally. The Wii U, this is the best Nintendo software they have made in nearly 20 years.
It really is a fantastic lineup. Needs more Metroid, but...
Oh, yeah, a Metroid game would go killer in there. But everything on there is so good. Every single mainline Nintendo game they've released has just been best in its style. You know, like even I wasn't always a fan of the new Super Mario Brothers series, but the Wii U game is so much better than the Wii game and the DS game that it's just crazy. And this new Super Mario 3D World was incredible. To me, that was like the spiritual successor to Super Mario Brothers 3 that I'd always wanted.
Yeah, Nintendo, they know how to make games, that's for damn sure. Everyone always tries to speak doom and gloom about them, but I think as long as they're still churning out games, they're still going to be around forever.
Plus, you know, they have that enormous amount of money sitting in the bank.
True.
I think someone worked out it would take like 60 years for them to go bankrupt, even losing tons of money.
You know what I really hope for? I hope Mario Kart 8 is the last Mario Kart game for some time, because I want the next one to be Super Smash Kart.
Interesting.
That could work.
What about Diddy Kong Racing 2?
Yeah, I mean, I'm down for that, but I feel like because they've got Donkey Kong and Mario Kart, they're just kind of doing that. Mm-hmm. But the way that they've got they've got Link and Villager and The Legend of Zelda racetrack, and they've got the Animal Crossing racetrack, and they've got F-Zero racetracks. I think they're testing the waters, and I really, really wouldn't be surprised if the next Mario Kart game is actually Super Smash Kart, and I'd be so happy.
Smash Kart Racing.
Speaking of which, though, just a second on Mario Kart 8. I mean, this is the greatest Mario Kart ever, right? Like, everyone's just agreed on that?
Yeah, pretty much.
would say so. Like, I tried playing so many Mario Kart games after 64. I tried Double Dash. Yeah. I tried... there's another one. I didn't do the DS one. But I tried several
Mario Kart
of them.
7.
And I just couldn't get into them. They just weren't doing it for me. Not like 64 did, anyway. And then Mario Kart 8 has just been fantastic.
The computers are still assholes in Mario Kart 8, but that's,
but,
you know, that's never going to change.
You know, I wish they'd bring back the fake blocks.
I just love the track design and the character design, like the variety of things that are in the game, the gameplay styles, and all the DLC. I can't even stand the concept of DLC most of the time because it feels to me like, I think it's just this weird piecemeal thing that doesn't slot into the game well. And then Mario Kart's like, "Well, how about we give you the best DLC you ever had, and it's only $5?"
Yeah.
Personally, I feel like all the DLC that Nintendo has put out, except for Smash Brothers, is well worth the price. The Hyrule Warriors stuff, there's so much extra content in Hyrule Warriors for the price of the DLC. There's so much more content in Mario Kart 8 for the price. My only problem with the Smash Brothers stuff is there's good stuff, the outfits are interesting, and the characters are good, and the levels are sweet, but like you add up the price of all the DLC in Smash Brothers right now, and I'm pretty sure it costs more than the game, and I hate that.
Yeah, it is pricey with Smash Brothers, but a lot of that is you're getting it on both platforms.
But I still think it's crap.
Yeah.
And they've done a couple games now, like the recent Mario & Luigi game and SteamWorld Dig and a couple other things. They've done it where if you buy it on the Wii U, then you get a code for the 3DS, so either you can have it on both or you can give it to a friend, and I think that's great.
Yeah,
that's what they should be doing with the DLC.
I think Nintendo just really needs to get their shit together when it comes to a unified account system.
Yeah, well, again, I feel like they're working on it, but it's still not quite there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. Sorry. We derailed that. Any more questions? Yeah. Let's talk about Nintendo.
Do you have any other questions to ask, Zach?
No. That Pappy question was the last one I wanted covered.
The Pappy question. I like how it's officially the Pappy question now.
Yeah.
And he talked for 4 seconds on air this episode. Is there anything else you wanted to say yourself about the game?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Or you, Zach. Is there anything you want to say about the game?
I cannot beat this last guy. I've tried 6 of the 8 androids I've got, and I can't do it.
Get good,
Which
son.
Phase are you dying
get good.
On?
Yeah, I can't get good. Crap.
Which phase are you dying on?
Sometimes I'm dying on the first phase.
Well, things are good.
I usually I die on the second phase with the like flower robot or whatever.
Yeah.
She's the pain. I hate her.
My hot tips and hot takes are to try and use the blue shutdown if you're having trouble because you'll be invulnerable for a while. It's like 7 seconds. And the enemies that are shut down take bonus damage as well. So as you're running into it, swap to your secondary and then unload the secondary while they're shut down and you'll get like a massive amount of damage on them. You don't need to worry about taking hits because you're invulnerable, so you just run through whatever's happening. So that's a good one to always hold in your back pocket is leave that power up for that boss if you can deal with the previous phases just fine. And the other hot tip I have is to use your secondary weapon every single time it's on cooldown. So that's like less than 10 seconds and you can hear a little audio ding and you can see the meter under your feet.
Yeah, no, I'm always constantly clicking the right button to switch out for it. And the problem with the power-ups is every time I get close to it, it's always on speed. And I'm like, I don't friggin' want speed. I want either the extra shot or the shutdown. But every time I wait, I get too far away trying to dodge bullets. Pain in the ass. Yeah.
The other little advanced trick you can use is that there are invincibility frames on the start of the weapon swap, so you can hop through projectiles.
Interesting.
whenever your character's got that white sheen on them, they are invulnerable. Actually, that's something you would have missed because you were on the wrong build at the start. So it was something we updated.
I did start it fresh from the beginning.
Oh, right. But it's after the you tutorial. Sent me the...
Yeah, no, the I tutorial.
We changed. So I'm guessing that you would have, like, breezed through the tutorial because it was a slight change on the wording trying to explain in the release build, explain how the weapon swap works. So in the original build that you would have played, it would have just said that it was weapon swap. And then in the advanced, so the release one, we switched it to say that it was dodge as well to explain how it worked.
Maybe that did slip by.
I mean, it slips by a lot of people who played the early access one. Sorry.
Sure. That's fine. Don't apologize.
In your face, Zach.
But yeah, that's a really useful little thing. You can use the multi-layered, the dodge system there. So when she does the vine attack that spreads out and chases you, you can just hop through the vines.
After, like, since you said that, I've used the weapon change while walking through shots, and it's amazing. Like, I'm fighting her right now. I died.
Playing and talking is not easy in Cactus.
Nah. SML Podcast, bringing you video game tips and tricks since 1993.
Hey, there you go.
You play Cactus while you play. Swap dodge. Tips from the developer while you play.
If any of our listeners have any questions about how to beat stages in Assault Android Cactus, make sure to send an email to the smlpodcast @gmail.com, and we will find a way to get your question answered.
Hey, play the demo on Steam. That's my sales pitch.
Yes, play the demo. It's a free demo, Chris. It's free. I'm surprised you didn't say that, Zach.
Well, he wasn't here.
Yeah, but he might listen to it.
I don't think he will.
Probably not.
You guys record. You don't listen. You do sometimes when you need to edit something in.
Yeah, like the one time I had to edit a show. It was pretty crazy.
With the way Steam works, I'm not surprised that demos don't get called out by people who are reviewing the game or previewing it, because if you have a key for the game, it doesn't even show up on the page. It just cancels it out. So I'm not even sure if Zach knew there was a demo.
I'm not sure if I did either, because I had the early access. So
yeah. So like whenever you visit the Cactus page, it wouldn't even have demo, because you already own it. And Steam's like, well, you own it. You don't need to know that there's a demo.
Yeah.
All right,
they should still keep the page and just say, oh, if you click on the demo page, be like, oh, you already have it. You're stupid for clicking here.
Yeah.
That would be funny if it did say that. Like, you have the game. Why are you clicking here? You are an idiot. Go back to playing the game you already own.
Yes, I will send this tip to Valve. Start insulting your users more.
Seriously, that's what more people need to do. Insult the user. That's how you earn respect.
I'll put people in their place.
Zach, you dick. Gonna insult you.
Yeah.
That way you respect us. Respect the podcast, you dick. But is there anything else you wanted to say about the game?
I think that's it. It speaks for itself. Give it a go. I think I've ranted enough.
So Assault Android Cactus, available on Steam now, $14.99, or maybe we can convince you to give us some codes to give away on the show later on. It has a current meta score of 230, and
yes,
by the end of the year it might be triple that. I think that covers it all, huh?
Just about.
Yeah, wait. Oh, Pappy is telling me that he just earned an achievement in Plague Incorporated on the Xbox One, where Joe Cam has successfully eliminated all life on Earth.
I thought he was studying.
Yeah, Zach just said, I thought he was studying.
What a dick. Ignoring the podcast to play games.
Yeah.
As I'm playing a game while on the podcast.
Yeah, fuck him. Whatever. So I want to thank you both for coming on the show. I want to thank you for wasting an hour of the night for me. Zach,
you're welcome.
Being 10 minutes late, wasting an extra 10 minutes of my life.
My pleasure. I am to please.
So, Zach, since this is your first time ever being like a co-host on the show, do you want to explain the whole final words thing?
Basically, say something insulting or obscene.
Or funny.
And that's what they'll end the show on. Well, it can be all of the above, really.
It can. So, do you have any final words for our listeners?
I was not prepared for this.
I wasn't expecting to hate on people.
Well, yeah. you could just hate on me. Like, it doesn't have to be for the listeners. Like, it doesn't
hate on jokes.
Listeners, okay. You suck. It's like, this show was a waste of my time, and you can go fuck yourselves. Like, that's all always right, good with us.
I'll just put this out there. Ubisoft, you suck. I'm sorry, but you do.